Good evening, everybody. We are recording from inside the emptied out Unser Museum, which has moved to Nebraska, even though it used to be here in Albuquerque. And we used a crowbar as our ticket.
I'm cold.
Yeah.
There's no crowbar like Simpson.
Yeah, there's no heat. And well, it's red now because the security guard was like, please don't hurt me. And he didn't want to let us in.
Schmuck. It tastes good on a taco.
Mm-hmm. It tastes like pennies.
It tastes like pennies.
Yeah, it has a certain taste to it. Mm. I mean, you can make it into sausage. Yeah.
All right. And since we're recording at the Unser Museum today, we're going to, of course, be talking about sports. And who doesn't love a good sports anime?
I don't know who.
Haters. And because of that, tonight we're going to be doing an episode titled, "This Isn't a Sports Anime, Weird Stories About Sports."
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
Don't make me ask questions, Gipper, because they'd all be about the Iran-Contra. All right, everybody, get your bets set up, and we're ready to start the show. We're going to have our races roll out. Tonight we have Sophia Baca, better known as the Terrible Twos. Jacob Urban, better known as Never Smiles. And Millicent Oriana, first in show. All right, now, get ready to place your bets, and let's move out! Everybody's favorite sports animes. Not really. We're going to be talking about sports, and we're going to pretend that we're talking about everybody's favorite sports animes. And, as always, we're going to have a great fucking time. So let's start it off with Jacob, who's going to tell us a fun story about horse racing.
Hey, who here likes Fanfare of Adolescence?
What?
Yeah, I got a tale for you. It's not about that by any means.
And for anybody that wants to know, it's an anime about horse racing that none of us have ever seen. And that's all we know about it.
Yeah, we just seriously looked up what anime is about horse racing because we just assumed there was one, and it turned out there was. Yeah.
Search so, engine, go!
If there's something horrifying in that show, and we...
Not our fault!
Yeah, we mistakenly promoted it.
All right.
We deny responsibility.
Exactly.
I have a pretty interesting story here. It's about a man named Frank Hayes, who was born between either 1888 and 1901.
That's kind of funny because we're going to have a pattern of that tonight. Born in either.
Okay. I mean, Sophia's, we know who they are. But yeah, this guy was kind of hard finding any real data on. But Frank Hayes is very famous for a very specific remit. Well, not very famous, but he's famous for a very specific reason.
And what is that reason?
Well, Frank Hayes, he wasn't a jockey, actually. He always wanted to be a jockey.
Oh my god, how is this going to be a pattern tonight, too?
Oh my god, is that...
He was actually a horse trainer. So, back in the like, 1920s, late 19-teens, you know, probably whenever he started. You know, from what I was...
This was the time when they were pushing hoops along the road.
This was the time when a man's economic troubles were because of his own moral failings.
Yeah. That was never the case.
That was never the case. This is also the time, though, that you could literally be like, I delivered a horse, and my name's Doc, so I guess I am the doctor.
Yeah, exactly. So
he had to be not starving enough to actually go to the horse.
From what I'm reading,
you had to get over your rickets first.
from what I read, he kind of like was kind of a dick to his family. It seems like he kind of like ignored his sister and mom to go fucking train horses.
Really interesting.
Sounds cool already.
That's honestly all I could find about his early life.
Tell me everything about your life.
Oh, what's to tell? I was at the orphanage till I was 18. Then I got my job at a souvenir stand. Oh, and once I saw a blimp.
Like, he always wanted to be a jockey, apparently. That's also the other thing I found, is that his lifelong goal was to actually be, like, a jockey. He just loved horses and he wanted to race. He wanted to be on the horse. He didn't want to have to, like, be the trainer for the horse and the jockey.
Ah.
So, what we can, maybe 22 years old, because we don't know his actual fucking age, because that's how the 1920s to 18... That's how, like, time worked until, like, the 1960s.
Well, I mean, last names weren't even standardized until, like, 1910s.
Yeah. So, that's just kind of how things work.
Sometimes people are just like, Billy from that village.
Yeah, Billy from Rhode Island.
So, at the age of, maybe 22 years old, Hayes had never won a race before. And, you know, he was not a professional jockey, but he was a horse trainer and a stableman. He entered a race and he was riding a horse called Sweet Kiss, which isn't that a great horse name?
That is a great horse name.
This was his day.
What do you mean his day?
His day. He won the race.
Shit, so he won the race on Sweet Kiss.
He did. Him and Sweet Kiss won that race. And, you know, it would have been, like, a great day because he was winning by a head with whatever the fuck that means to horse racers.
Oh, that literally means that the horse, like, he barely won. He won by, like, a foot.
Like, okay, like, so it was like his head close in front of the other one, then. So that you get, let's draw the scene. You know, they are at that starting gate. He's like amped up, ready to fucking go. He's got Sweet Kiss behind him, or under him, I guess. Really.
Yeah, under him.
You know, he's riding, and then he kind of feels funny. and you know, he won the race. Now, here's where Frank Hayes holds a rather peculiar distinction. He is the first and so far only jockey known to have won their race after death.
Oh, no. So, I forgot that this was this guy. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, okay, so Sweet Kiss was actually Sweet Kiss of Death.
Yeah, it was the Sweet Kiss of Death, apparently.
Don't give me that kiss of death, you black widow.
So, Hayes' death was not discovered until Miss Frayling and race officials came to congratulate him shortly after the race.
Wait, Mrs. Who?
Who?
Mrs. Frayling?
She was the person who owned the horse.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was one of Olive Oil's friends.
So she was the wealthy dowager that owned
exactly.
the horse.
She was the rich person who backed the fucking horse and didn't turn it into glue. Until its leg broke.
So, like, yeah. They walked up to him and, like, started shaking and he just fell over.
It seems like that because, yeah, it suggested that Hayes may have had a fatal heart attack after trying to cut weight to be a jockey.
Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
Because, you know, jockeys have to be kind of small and light.
What year is this again?
1923.
This is when, like, the most awful ways of losing weight were acceptable. Look up 1920s tapeworm.
Also, I mean, if you were...
I don't even have to look it up, but Millie, you've seen that, right? The tapeworm diets?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Say, Carl, do you have any idea what's in these candy bars?
No, I do not. It's South Bronx paradise, baby!
It's South Bronx parasite.
Hey, whatever.
Did you even read the wrapper?
That's typical liberal media, parasite paradise. You're guaranteed to shed pounds within hours. I know that.
Yeah, because there's larvae inside of you feeding on your flesh.
Here's the other thing, though, too, that's so horrible about all of that. Is, I mean, you've seen those videos of athletes from 1901 and stuff from the Olympics. Where they're like, It's like, wow, he didn't have to, he could take the cigar out of his mouth while he did it. He's obviously material
head and
for
shoulders
the
over everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, so a newspaper reported he had slimmed down from 142 pounds to 130 pounds, or 64 kilograms to 59 kilograms in a very short time.
How short? That like that's
that's
like,
all it says. A very short time.
Still, the like that's
yeah, that'll
that's
be
what,
enough
like
to kill
a
you.
Ninth of your weight.
But here's the thing:
that's a lot of your weight.
Like,
especially if you're already pretty thin.
I get that people were smaller in the 1920s because they weren't getting enough nutrients.
Oh, yeah, but he still started out at a certain weight and ended at a certain weight relative to that.
Exactly.
Also, to be a jockey, I mean, you have to be kind of tiny. So he
well,
probably...
yes, to be a jockey, you do have to be small. That's like a prerequisite to the job. You cannot be an average-sized person.
That's why Mickey Rooney played that jockey in the episode Twilight Zone.
Yeah, you can't be an average-sized person to be a jockey. Most jockeys are just kind of thin and, like, a little short.
Short as fuck. No, honestly, yeah, pretty jockeys are, like, borderline dwarfism most of the time.
So, after the discovery of Hayes' death, all further post-race formalities were waived by the jockey club. By fucking get that.
Yeah, get that. I don't want to drink after that.
Yeah. The result being declared official without weighing in. Hayes was buried 3 days later, dressed in his racing silks at the Holy Cross Cemetery in Brooklyn, New York. The horse never raced again, and it is claimed that the Sweet Kiss was nicknamed Sweet Kiss of Death for the rest of her life.
Oh, nice! Yay! And now Sophia's going to tell us a fun anime sports story with an anime sport.
So let me tell you about something. It's called a little it's a little anime called The Prince of Tennis. But instead of that, what I'm going to tell you about is someone who is another royalty of tennis, perhaps a queen of tennis, Venus Williams.
Yes, Venus Williams and Serena Williams are probably the two greatest athletes on the planet right now.
Yeah, like honestly, if anybody's going to be a queen of tennis, it's going to be one of them.
Oh, yeah, wait, no, it's Serena Williams in this case.
Oh, it is Serena?
Oh, it is Serena?
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot it was Serena.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Venus is great.
Venus is just, yeah.
Yeah, Serena's the one that everybody knows, though, for being, like, the GOAT.
Yeah. Like, I don't know much about tennis, but, you know, I know them, and good for them.
Yeah, they're both great, but apparently Serena's just, like, that much better.
Oh, yeah. So Randall Monroe of XKCD fame, he publishes a comic strip online that's famous for just using stick figures. It's been around since like the mid-2000s, early 2000s. So he has a book where he gives really convoluted advice for problems that aren't really problems. So for example, if somebody has a problem of sending the internet across the world, he says attach it to butterflies as protein strands of DNA. So about how to catch a drone, he says, well, how we can't just use Serena Williams to catch all drones that we need to catch? So Serena Williams is somebody that I think, I can't remember the exact statistic, but it's like 10% of men think that they could get a shot on Serena Williams in the first like 8 like tries.
No, you can't.
That 10% of men is absolutely delusional.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
No,
yeah.
You can't. That's like that whole thing about like 5% of Americans think they could win a fight against a grizzly bear.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I was gonna say.
No, you can't.
I was gonna say right now. Okay, so of that 10% of men, I don't think any of those men were Andre Agassi, Andy Roddick, or Pete Sampras, and. I think those three would be like, look, I've played against the Williams sisters enough times to know.
Yeah, look, they'd have the best shot, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, like, those are like
but
the
only... They weren't able to get any points?
No, they got points.
But they're going to beat them.
Yeah, even they are like, yeah, I've, like, okay, so, like, I've seen Andre Agassi beat Serena Williams. But it was one of those things where it was like, you know, those matches go, like, best of three and stuff. And he didn't win best of three. He just won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he won a game.
Yeah. So, yeah, those men are delusional, especially if they're not actually, like, tennis pros.
No, it's just, like, average, like, men that they They're delusional.
Of course they are. This is Maxim magazine taking this poll.
Yeah. Is that Maxim?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just drunk and saying shit.
That's like me saying I could get a hit in on like Conor McGregor, which like, don't get me wrong, I know he's like a prick and all that, but like, I know I probably couldn't get a fucking hit in on him.
Yeah, the man's a professionally trained fighter. I understand my own limitations.
Yeah, I understand my limitations. I if I'm fighting some Johnny Redneck in a street fight, yeah, I'll probably have a really good chance of beating his ass.
Yeah, I got a chance in that situation.
But if I'm fighting Conor McGregor, I'll be lucky if I get a shot in.
Like, if they're like a year, maybe a year and a half into their MMA training, and they're a slow student at that point, at the year and a half point, I got a good chance against them.
Yeah.
And anything past that? Nah, man, they got me, I'm pretty sure.
And if they have, like, MS or Parkinson's or something like Ali did, yeah, then maybe, but...
Oh, yeah, that's different, though. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Just last month, I knocked out Muhammad Ali!
So, basically, Randall Monroe... thought a professional tennis player with a certain percent accuracy. I don't know exactly what the percent accuracy rating he quoted was. So I know the statistic, but I don't know the explanation behind it. So I'm not even going to quote it. You can look it up on the XKCD.com blog. He estimated it would take 5 to 7 shots for someone like Serena Williams to knock the drone out of the sky. Apparently, it took 3 shots before she was able to hit the drone so hard that it fell to the ground and, just was totally devastated.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And it's just really fun because I love stories about these athletes that are, I mean, it's like, you know, like in the musical world, the Dixie Chicks are kind of like this with instruments, you know, like they could pick up any instrument and, like, you know, do it like adequately.
Oh, yeah, like Paul McCartney could.
Could he?
Yeah. Apparently, Paul McCartney, you can just hand him an instrument and he can figure it out in a second.
Like, okay, so an instrument, like, it's a different part of, like, the brain than doing a sports thing.
Yeah, but they also have some similarities. I mean,
no, they do. I'm just saying, like, people really do not understand the level of athleticism it takes to be a professional athlete, and like not even just a professional athlete, they don't understand, but then to be at the top of the field of those professional athletes,
get dedicated people, almost all the time to that.
Yeah, a lot of people really don't get it. Like, do you think you could hit a 95 mile an hour fastball?
Hell no.
I don't. No. I don't think I could do that at all. But there are people who do that fucking regularly.
I hit an 80-mile-an-hour fastball one time, and that was, to this day, the worst knockout I ever received in baseball. It was the first black eye I ever got, because it literally hit, like, halfway up the bat, and it bounced off that and hit me in the eye, which, thankfully, I slowed it way the hell down when I did that, thing knocked my ass out cold. Shit. Have you read those articles about, like, NBA players playing pickup games against, like, Globetrotters?
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's the most horrifying thing ever.
Yeah, where they're like, oh my God.
Because the Globetrotters pick the top 0.1% of basketball players for their team.
Yes. Like, okay, so like one of the current Globetrotters used to be the head of the Generals.
Yeah.
And I read a whole article about that, which, okay, and I also actually got to hang out with those guys one time, which, yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny telling people, yeah, I partied with the Washington Generals.
That's pretty cool.
It's like, you didn't party with Globetrotters? It's like, no. Globetrotters had their own cool little party going on and everything like
Look,
that.
Look, I'm not cool enough to party with a Globetrotter.
Yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't cool enough to party with a Globetrotter.
It's okay. You were cool enough to party with a General.
Exactly. That's what I looked at. I was like, it was cool enough to party with the Generals.
There's no shame in being second.
And now, Avis Renegar is proud to present the second best band in America. Will you welcome Garfunkel, Messina, Oaks, and Lisa singing their number two hit, Born to Runner Up.
Why would they come to our concert just to boo us?
Yeah, that's fine.
And like, okay, so the head of the Generals at the time, he literally wore like that MF Doom gladiator mask. He literally wore that shit. That's
awesome.
Yeah, and like, so yeah, like I got to hang out with them and everything. And yeah, he was talking about it. He was like, yeah, I was Globetrotter for a little bit. And then I didn't want to do it anymore. It's too hard. Which yeah. is funny seeing him as a Globetrotter now again. Because it's yeah. like, there was a minute he was like, nah, I fucking went back to the Generals. I don't want to do that shit.
Okay. So the point I was making, like, I've seen Steph Curry, who's, like, considered one of the best players in the NBA right now. I've seen him make fucking shots from half court just fucking around.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, to be at that skill level where you could just do that.
Oh, I know. That's really cool.
Most people,
it takes a lot of work.
Like that is so much work and dedication to making your body prioritize a skill.
Oh yeah, completely.
So that whole thing about people, the 10% of men thinking they could score a shot on either the Williams sister, go fuck yourself. That's where I was going with all of that.
Can you look at the percentage thing though? Is it?
Oh my god! It's 8. It's 1 in 8 men. So that's 12.5%. Yeah, that's 12.5%. How is 1 in 8 men that delusional? God, like, I don't feel ashamed about being a man all that often, but sometimes I'm just like, come on, guys, you gotta get your shit together. You gotta get your shit together, guys. Like, oh, you're dragging me down with this bullshit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that just tells me 1 in 8 men are fucking delusional.
Yes!
The sources I'm finding say score a point.
Oh. Well, Millie found one that said beat, and well, Sophia...
I see the beat one, but everything else says score a point.
Yeah. But Sophia's, yeah, if I'm under stuff that says score a point. But either way, that's fucking delusional.
Oh, yeah, either way, because, like... I played ping pong against somebody who knows ping pong way better than me.
And it was humiliating?
I couldn't play against them.
Yeah, because it's humiliating.
Yeah.
Because they just beat your ass so bad that you're like, well, why am I even doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Am I entertaining you? Am I your clown?
What is it?
Are you not entertained? Yeah.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you were here?
Yeah, but just the fact that she did it in a half of the amount of hits that it took means that, like, she's more accurate, like, she's pretty dang accurate, you know?
Oh, yeah, she's, yeah. like, deadly accurate. And I'm sure she could also embed that tennis ball in somebody's head if she wanted to.
It was also
to.
From 40 feet away.
Jeez.
Okay, that's just more salt in the wound there. That's just even more salt in the wound.
Yeah, 3 shots from 40 feet away to hit a drone. You know, foot across.
Oh, I thought that you were talking about the girl beating you, not Serena.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, not even the girl beating you. That
oh, what kind of crazy, yeah, what kind of crazy table tennis would that have been?
Yeah, that would have been
no,
insane.
No, but the drone was 40 feet away and like 10 feet up.
Yeah, 40 feet away, 10 feet up, and Serena Williams fucking clocked it in her 3rd strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking insanity.
And then it's clocked it so hard that it fell to the concrete
yeah,
and died.
Yeah, that she killed it.
Yeah. Oh,
she killed it. Randall
Monroe said she laughed after.
Yeah, because it was she probably hit that ball like, I don't know how fast a tennis ball goes, maybe like 75 miles an hour.
I think it could go faster than that. I think the
maybe.
So what's the
I feel like that.
Of all time?
The fastest tennis serve ever recorded is an astonishing 263.4 kilometers per hour, 163.7 miles per hour.
Holy fuck! That's like double what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Roddick did that. Remember when his ball got embedded in that clay?
Okay.
That match.
So
yeah, 60 seconds. Yeah. I mean, 160 miles an hour is the fastest.
So. She probably didn't break any world records with
No,
this.
But she's probably
But she probably was hitting it like 150, maybe.
Or maybe even 130.
I would guess maybe 130 to 150 she hit it.
Yeah, possibly even just 100.
Possibly 100, maybe, because that'd be enough to bring a drone down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know what her strength is.
And also, she's going for accuracy, too, so she's not going to go for her hardest swing.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen pictures of both of them flexing the muscles in their back and shoulders, and it's horrifying to me. It is scary how strong those two are.
It's
yeah. No, it's amazing. Like, they're like, good for them. Good for both those sisters. But I've seen it, and it's horrifying to me because it's like, oh my God, they could, like, kill you with a punch.
Yeah, they could kill you with a tennis ball for damn
They could kill
sure.
you with a tennis ball for goddamn sure.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah.
Why are you bouncing this off of yourself?
It's horrifying when you see them, like, flexing.
And is that the end of you? Mm-hmm. All right, well, and because that's the end of Sophia's tennis story, we're going to move on to a classic, an oldie but a goodie. Everybody loves Speed Racer.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's going to be chasing after someone.
And, of course, we're just going to tell a story that has nothing to do with Speed Racer, but it does have to do with NASCAR. So, folks, gather around, grab yourself a cold brew, smoke a bowl, and we're going to talk about L.W. Wright.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, indeed.
All right. So, and how about you, Sophia, Jacob? Are either of you familiar with Mr. Larry Ernest Wright?
Not really.
I'm vaguely familiar with the story.
All right. So, L.W. Wright is best known for, he only competed in one race ever, and that was the 1982 Winston 500. And what's funny about Mr. Wright is he's actually known better for being a con artist than he is for being a NASCAR driver. And, okay, so, in April of 1982, William Dunway of Hendersonville, Tennessee, contacted a national newspaper to promote a driver named L.W. Wright, who declared he was entering the Winston 500 with Music City Racing. So Wright, born either 1948 or 1949,
God.
Yeah, claimed that he was 33 years old with 43 NASCAR Busch Grand National Series starts. Wright also announced country artists Merle Haggard, T.G. Seppard, and Waylon Jennings were sponsoring him. To participate in the race, he submitted a check worth $115 to NASCAR for a competition license. Although sanctioning body officials were skeptical of his background, right-to-work laws required NASCAR to allow him to race if he could pay for the license and $100 entry fee and provide a capable car.
Okay, so this dude had no fucking credentials. He just walked up and was like, hey, I want to race in this shit. And they were like, well, that's the fucking law, I guess.
Yeah, he had the $100. He had the money to buy the license. And they were like, well, it's a right to work state. So we have to let you work if you have the money.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That is fucking amazing. I don't think you're truly appreciating how horrifying this is.
Oh, it's the whole reason that right-to-work laws are the dumbest thing ever. Okay, so anybody that doesn't know, we have these laws in the United States called right-to-work laws, which essentially what they do is they deny protections for workers.
Yeah, we live in a state that's a right-to-work state. Yeah.
But every now and again, some genius finds a way to screw with those laws and force employers to hire them.
Yeah, because, okay, here's the main thing about a right-to-work state is that your employer can fire you with no notice at any point in time because they dislike you and make up a reason.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Millie.
Oh, yeah.
Is they made up a reason.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they just found a reason to fire me. Which, so yeah, that's the thing about working in a right-to-work state, which...
Now, here's the benefit of working in a right-to-work state, is that you don't have to do a 2 weeks' notice. You can just be like, fuck this, and walk out in the middle of a shift, and they can't do anything about it.
Well, that's actually anywhere. Like, there's no legal requirement for 2 weeks.
Oh, there used to be?
There used to be?
Yeah, my mom used to have to sign things like that.
Yeah, there used to be a legal requirement for 2 weeks, but nowadays you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah, and here's getting back to Mr. Wright. As a part of Music City Racing, Lloyd Barber and Rick Wright also applied for driver's permits, while Dunway, Freddie Case, Wills Judd, Michael Smith, Ellis White requested mechanics licenses. Wright then approached B.W. Bernie Tyrell, head of Nashville-based Space Age Marketing, for assistance in buying and sponsoring a car. He gave him $30,000 to purchase the vehicle and gave him a semi-trailer and $7,500 to cover his expenses. He eventually, Wright, eventually bought a Monte Carlo, a Chevrolet Monte Carlo from Sterling Marlin for $20,700, using $17,000 in cash and a check for the remainder.
I assume that check was no good.
Oh, yeah, it definitely bounced. And suspicious of the excessively high money spending, Marlin followed Wright to Talladega to serve as his crew chief. Other payments included $1,500 to $1,800. So all these invoices and stuff were really murky.
Oh, so he was like, I paid roughly this much money to do this?
Yeah. To Goodyear. For tires. $1,200 to driver Travis Tiller for parts, and $168 to the Southern Textile Association's Wayne Wilson for racing jackets. After Wright conducted a newspaper interview to promote his entry, Shepard denied his involvement in the effort with Nashville Speedway co-owner and Shepard's tax attorney, Gary Baker, adding that he had never even heard of the guy. When he was questioned at Talladega about Shepard and his racing career, Wright claimed that Shepard's sponsorship was premature and admitted that he had participated in a sportsman class races that took place at Grand National Track, but never in a Grand National race.
Look, I might have fucked up here, guys. I don't know if this is the right move to make to sponsor him.
Oh, yeah. Marlin expressed further suspicion at Wright's behavior at the track, who regularly asked questions any driver should have known.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Okay, so Marlin eventually got more suspicious because Wright's behavior at the track. Wright would regularly ask questions any driver should have known.
And I'll just get us started.
We'll need that to live.
Hey, how do I turn left at a really high speed?
Yeah. Why isn't the ignition a key? Why is I have a switch instead?
Yeah.
Like that kind of crap. Like most NASCARs they have a switch in ignition.
Well, I've used a push button ignition, so I imagine it's relatively the same.
It's a more modern version of ignition.
Yeah.
This is 1982, so it would have probably been a switch ignition. Okay, so Wright crashed in practice, but he was able to fix his car and qualified 36th in the race. So he got into the race.
He did get into the race. But he crashed during the qualifying race, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. That is not a great sign.
No, that is not a good sign. Okay, so how do you think the race went for him?
Great. Well, I think he won it.
You think he went all the way?
I think he went all the fucking way.
How about you, Sophia? What do you think happened to him?
Oh, he either went all the way or he went like a block.
Or he crashed.
Yeah. Like he went like a few feet before crashing.
He was ordered to exit after 13 laps for being too slow.
Oh, yeah.
He finished 39th. He received $1,545 in prize money and no points in the cup standings as a late entrant.
Ouch. That seems like a really bad record, because if you're going too slow, that means like other cars are like swerving out of your way.
Yeah, and they're lapping you.
Yeah.
So following the race, Wright disappeared and left the car at the speedway where Tyrell discovered it. While missing, he was announced as having failed to qualify for the next race, the Cracker Barrel Country Store 4200 at Nashville Speedway.
Well, that sounds classy.
Oh, I know. It sounds so classy.
It's the Pepsi 4500, the Nashville. Anyway.
Yeah, Pepsi sounds much better than Cracker Barrel.
That is true, huh?
Yes.
Especially because they call it Cracker Barrel Country Store. Anyway.
Okay, sorry. We're going to diatribe for just a second.
Oh, you're fine.
Cracker Barrel just sounds really goddamn unclassy.
It does.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It sounds like a white trash amusement park, yeah. Which I understand that the term now, white trash is racist. So I guess just it sounds like a trashy amusement park.
Yeah. And if anybody's wondering, he doesn't mean racist against white people. Fuck white people.
Yeah, it's not racist against white people. Fuck white people.
It's racist against people of color.
Look,
for a long historical convoluted reason we'll get to.
Look, eventually. As far as I can tell, all of my lineage is white people for the most part. And, you know, we got a lot of passes, so we can go fuck ourselves on this one.
Da-da-da-da, fuck ourselves. Anyway, continue.
All right, so getting back to Mr. Wright. Okay, so he failed.
Oh, he's Mr. Wright. I'm sorry, yeah. Anyway.
So he failed to compete. And to qualify for the next race, and it was revealed that the checks that he had given were invalid.
Bum, bum, bum.
South Central Bell and Wright's landlord received bad checks worth $700 and $4,500 respectively, while United Trappers Marketing Association owner Dean McIntyre lost over $10,000 to Wright. Marlin commented, "The bounce check didn't really surprise me. I sort of expected it."
Why would you give it to him then?
So NASCAR arranged for arrest warrants while Terrell hired a private investigator to search for Wright.
South America, Australia, Singapore, Egypt. The kid's gone completely out of control.
Why wasn't I called?
Nobody was called, sir. The banks didn't know what was happening till last week.
That's impossible.
They didn't call because it's not counterfeiting. It's something else.
Well, what is he doing?
He's making real checks, sir. These are so perfect, the airline didn't know the difference.
Last check was cashed in Madrid a week ago.
My guess is he's still there. We have to leave now, sir, today.
Wright was known as the D.B. Cooper of NASCAR for a long time.
Oh, D.B. Cooper got away from it. Oh, wait, no, because...
No, he was known for a long time.
Yeah, I just realized. Yeah.
And D.B. Cooper might not have gotten away with it because there was that skeleton attached to an
Well, that's what I mean. He got away with it until he died.
Yeah.
Well, he got away for... Okay, jumping out of a plane during a storm seems like the worst idea ever.
No, it's fine.
It really is, and that's why they found a skeleton attached to an army.
Like, like it's more than likely him. There's a chance it wasn't, but to me, that seems like the worst goddamn idea ever. Like, that was a passenger jet. That thing was hauling ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, Okay, and this is really recent. On April 29th, 2022, Rick Houston of the Scene Vault podcast announced that he had found Wright, releasing a podcast interview with him on May 2nd, 2022, the 40th anniversary of the Winston 500.
That's pretty cool.
The podcast announcement included an audio clip of Wright identifying himself. Yeah, and there are people that doubt that the man actually was Wright.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who come forward to say they were all kinds of people.
Like that weirdo that claimed he killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's all kinds of people who do that for what kind of weird reason. So, I mean, there's a chance it was him. I'll give him that. But it might not have been.
Well, okay. Apparently, the Tennessee State Police are, like, convinced it was him.
Oh?
On February 13th, 2023, he was arrested in Knox County, Tennessee. Oh, actually, not even the Tennessee State Police. Sorry. The U.S. Marshals are convinced it's him.
I really like the idea of them just arresting some random old man just because he confessed.
Yeah, so on February 13th, 2023, he was arrested in Knox County, Tennessee by the federal marshals. He was charged with theft, burglary, and evading arrest. His trial hasn't completely ended yet, but it looks like he's probably going to get sentenced to a good amount of time.
Oh, man. That's pretty... Oh, goddamn. I'm surprised the statutes of limitations didn't, like, expire on that yet.
Oh, I know! Like, I can literally, like, sexually assault somebody, and, like, it goes, like, by, like, 10 years, and they're like, oh, we can't do anything. But I steal, like, 17 grand from NASCAR, and they can catch me 40 years later for that shit.
I know, our laws are so fucked up in this country.
They really are. And with that, I just want y'all to know that, again, this episode had nothing to do with anime. And if you or a friend sleeps with a body pillow, well, take some pictures of that and put it on the internet.
I guess. I mean, I'm kind of like in the camp of, you know, don't do that. Well, okay, if it's a full grown adult, you can do it. It's fine. I don't really judge you for that. But if it's not a fully grown adult, don't do that.
Well, yeah, it's different though. Yeah.
And it's different, but a lot of weebs are weird.
Yeah, but what if I want one of Twilight Suzuka from Outlaw Star?
Go for it.
All right. Well, everybody and anybody that has a Twilight Suzuka body pillow, hug it tight for me tonight. God bless.
God bless America. No.
We'll end it with that.